This is the Michael J. Epstein Memorial Library, and you're listening to Freeform Radio 91.5 FM WMFO Medford.
Taking the reins right now. This is Charlie Driver. Good morning. It's Pop and Circumstance, your first show of Tuesday morning, this Tuesday before Thanksgiving at 7:03:36 on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM, Tufts Freeform Radio. Danny, how are you doing today?
Doing quite well. We woke up early. We got some instant coffee that turned out not to be instant coffee.
We started using the Royal We.
Yes.
Yeah, nice stuff.
Well, we moved in together. So
we did not.
Oh. Thought we had a shotgun wedding last show, but I guess not.
Who's shotgun?
We didn't
even listen to Oklahoma.
I'd rather not comment on that.
Well.
But anyway, we've got a good lineup for you today.
Yeah, exciting show today. A rainy Tuesday. Really, you know, just terrible day. Like all of our emotions on this 2 days before Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Charlie.
But this is our Thanksgiving special, so you know we're bringing you the best Thanksgiving song ever.
Yes, by popular demand, we held a poll, and only two people responded. Those two people were us.
And now, Charlie, what did we pick? There is a significant margin of error because it was split.
That's true.
So it's too close to call, but we are going to play Alice's Restaurant, Arla Guthrie's 17-minute-long Thanksgiving song. That'll be coming out to you later in the show. We're going to throw it over to some music right away, though, now. This one is off of the new release from Bob Dylan. You know how he's been doing the sort of bootleg series, Danny?
Yes, indeed.
Where he remasters and releases deep cuts.
I don't think he's ever going to stop being on tour.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is unrelated to the tour. This is like stuff that he actually recorded at the time.
I don't know if he's ever going to stop recording things at the time.
He's probably going to just... One of these days, he's going to die and keep releasing music.
Well, everyone does that.
Yeah, so we're gonna listen to one from the this sort of release of new takes, and in this case, we're gonna do Simple Twist of Fate. Hope you enjoy.
Sat together in the park as the evening sky grew dark. She looked at him and he felt a spark. tingle to his bones. 'Twas then he felt alone and wished that he'd gone straight and watched out for a simple twist of fate. He walked along by the old canal, a little confused, I remember well, and stopped into a strange hotel with a neon burning bright. He felt the heat of her night get him like a freight train moving with a simple twist of fate. Saxophone someplace far off played as she was walking by the arcade, as the light burst through a beat up shade while he was waking up. She dropped the coin into a cup of a blind man at the gate and forgot about a simple twist of fate. The room was bare, he didn't see her anywhere. He told himself he didn't care, pushed the window open wide, felt an emptiness inside to which he just could not relate, brought on by a simple twist of fate. He hears the ticking of the clock and walks along with a parrot that talks, hunts her down by the waterfront docks where the sailors all come in. Maybe he'll spot her once again. How long must he wait one more time for a simple twist of fate? People tell me it's a sin to know and feel too much within. I still believe she was my twin, but I lost the ring. She was born in spring, but I was born too late. Blame it on a simple twist of fate.
Rocky Raccoon, a Rocky Raccoon, he was a fool unto himself, and he would not swallow his foolish pride. Mind you, coming from a little town in Minnesota, it was not the kind of thing that a young guy did when a fellow went and stole his chick away from him. Rocky Raccoon checked into his room only to find Gideon's Bible. Rocky had come equipped with a gun to shoot off the legs of his rival. His rival, it seems, had broken his dreams by stealing the girl of his fancy. Her name was McGill, and she called herself Lil, but everyone knew walked in and grinning a grin, said, "Danny boy, this is a showdown." But Daniel was hot, he drew first and shot, and Rocky collapsed in the corner. Na da 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 da. Of gin, sminking, proceeded to lie on the table. He was really sminking, got gin, and it did him in the end. Poor Doc. Meantime, back on the table, yeah, the doctor said, "Rock, you met your match, son." Rocky said, "It's only a scratch, son. I'll be better soon. You better be better soon," said the doc. "Come on, son, gotta get hip, gotta get up, gotta get back to your gun. Gotta go and show that Danny boy." However, Rocky Raccoon fell back in his room, only to find Gideon's Bible. Gideon checked out and left it no doubt to help with good Rocky's revival. Now Rocky Raccoon got up from his room and he walked out through the swing doors of the local saloon, straight into the arms of someone new, someone who he'd known from a long way back, maybe from a primary school days. A young friend, Rocky, recognized. He said, "Honey, will you be my new honey bun?" She said, "Rocky boy, come on, I'll show you why I love you." Young Rocky Raccoon, I love the way you wear your hat, I love the way you hit your pants. "Rocky Raccoon, I dig you," he said, "Mrs., I dig you too. Come with me."
It's a wonder I can think at all. I know my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing on the wall. Kodachrome, it gives those nice bright colors, gives those greens or summers that make you think all the world's a sunny day. Oh yeah, well I got it, a Nikon camera, I love to take a photograph, so mama don't take my call.
imagination. And everything looks better in black and white. They give us those nice bright colors. Give us those greens of summers. They make you think that all the world's a sunny day. Oh yeah, well I got it, a Nikon camera. I love to take a photographs of a long day. My chronograph away. Mama, don't take my chronograph away. Don't take my chronograph away. Mama, don't take my chronograph. Mama, don't take my chronograph. Well, Mama, don't take my chronograph away. Mama, don't take my chronograph. Leave your boys so far from home. Mama, don't take my chronograph away. Mama, don't take my chronograph.
Paul Simon, Kodachrome. That's from his Live at Central Park album, his 1991 concert in the Central Park Bandshell. Before that, we had Take 8 from Rocky Raccoon. That's off of the new version of the Beatles' White Album that's been released with a lot of demos and alternate takes. And before that, we had Take 3A, More Blood, More Tracks, the Bootleg Series Volume 12, Bob Dylan, A Simple Twist of Fate. Danny.
Yes.
What's your favorite thing about Thanksgiving?
My favorite thing about Thanksgiving is probably schlag. Now, schlag is whipped cream that is handmade, and it is a family tradition in the Gershenov/Nelson clan.
What makes it different than just handmade whipped cream? Why does it have to be called schlag?
Well, schlag, as many of our listeners who are predominantly German, according to our many surveys, may know, is the German word for whipped cream, and we brought it with us from the old country.
The old country being Deutschland?
Well, no, Slovakia.
Austria. Slovaks don't speak German.
Well, in the 20s and 30s, everyone in that part of Europe spoke German because it was kind of the most important language. And then, you know...
I didn't know you guys were Slovak.
Yeah,
my mom's family is from Slovakia.
Yeah, the Weisses.
And the Schwartzes.
The Weisses and the Schwartzes.
Yeah.
Charlie, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I'm going home.
Home? In your car, right? Yes.
We're not going to talk about that on Drive Time Radio, Danny.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Well, rest assured, it is a wonderful story that you will not hear this week.
It's not that great a story. Anyway, favorite non-dessert Thanksgiving dish?
The gravy for the turkey.
Yeah, just a full-on plate of gravy.
Yeah, I eat that stuff for breakfast, just so om nom nom, like I'm a football player who just made a big tackle and I'm trying to perform for the camera, just like that.
You're on the Cowboys or the Lions?
The Eagles, so I don't do it
much.
No,
you're playing on Thanksgiving.
Oh, true. The Lions.
That's fair.
Yeah.
They have the better anthem performances. Did you see Aretha Franklin's performance of the national anthem? I think it was 2 years ago.
No, and Thanksgiving I also did.
It was 6.5 minutes long.
Oh,
well, it was incredible.
I did not see it. And I also didn't see last night's shootout between...
Dude, I tuned in for the fourth quarter of that. This is a game in which the Los Angeles Rams defeated the Kansas City Chiefs, I think, 57-54. 54-51. In one of the craziest fourth quarters I've ever seen. And
I heard it was a 28-point swing. You don't see that these days.
Yeah, it was also... It's the third highest scoring game of all time. It's the first game ever where both teams have scored above 50 points. It also featured Pat Mahomes throw for like 459 yards and six touchdowns, but also three interceptions and two fumbles.
Yes, he still had, according to some estimates, 39 fantasy points. An absurd number.
What sort of stats are you using?
Ben Feinberg.
35.9 in ESPN, and Feinberg plays the same line
okay,
as me. So
well,
he's
maybe
wrong.
He said 39.5 instead of 35.9. Who knows? The world may never
Either
know.
Way, it was a wild game.
Yes, it was, and I did not watch it, unfortunately.
Yeah, so let's jump back now to Thanksgiving. So what we're going to play next is Arlo Guthrie. He's related to Woody Guthrie. I think he's his son. He recorded his album, Alice's Restaurant, in 1967. So maybe not Woody Guthrie's son. Maybe your brother. And in 1967, this album's 35 minutes long.
We're not going to play all 35. Just
the first song, Alice's Restaurant, Massacre, is 19 minutes long.
Oh, my.
And it's a time. So buckle up. Danny, get under the covers.
All right.
Arlo's going to tell you a story.
Yes, he will. Let's hear it.
All right. We'll see you in 20 minutes.
This song's called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's Restaurant is not the name of the restaurant. That's just the name of the song. And that's why I call the song Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Now it all started two Thanksgivings ago. It was on 2 years ago on Thanksgiving when my friend and I went up to visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice doesn't live in the restaurant. She lives in the church nearby the restaurant in the bell tower with her husband Ray and Facha the dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they got a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. And having all that room, seeing as how they took out all the pews, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, we found all the garbage in there, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the city dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, and headed on toward the city dump. Well, we got there and there's a big sign and a chain across the dump saying closed on Thanksgiving. And we had never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before. And with tears in our eyes, we drove off into the sunset looking for another place to put the garbage. We didn't find one till we came to a side road. And off the side of the side road was another 15-foot cliff. And at the bottom of the cliff was another pile of garbage. And we decided that one big pile's better than two little piles, and rather than bring that one up, we decided to throw ours down. That's what we did. Drove back to the church, had a Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning when we got a phone call from Officer Obie. Said, kid, we found your name on an envelope at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage, and wanted to know if you had any information about it. And I said, yes, sir, Officer Obie, cannot tell a lie. I put that envelope under that garbage. After speaking to Obie for about 45 minutes on the telephone, we finally arrived at the truth of the matter and said that we had to go down and pick up the garbage and also had to go down and speak to him at the police officer station. So we got in a red VW microbus with the shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, headed on toward the police officer station. Now, friends, there was only one or two things that OB could have done at the police station, and the first was that he could have give us a medal for being so brave and honest on the telephone, which wasn't very likely, and we didn't expect it. Another thing was that he could have bawled us out and told us never to be seen driving garbage around the vicinity again, which is what we expected. But when we got to the police officer station, there was a third possibility that we hadn't even counted upon, and we was both immediately arrested, handcuffed. And I said, Obi, I don't think I can pick up the garbage with these handcuffs on. He said, shut up, kid. Get in the back of the patrol car, and that's what we did. Sat in the back of the patrol car and drove to the, quote, scene of the crime, unquote. I want to tell you about the town of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where this happened. Here they got three stop signs, two police officers and one police car. But when we got to the scene of the crime, there was five police officers and three police cars, being the biggest crime of the last 50 years. And everybody wanted to get in the newspaper story about it. And they was using up all kinds of cop equipment that they had hanging around the police officer station. They was taking plaster, tire track footprints, dog smelling prints, and they took 27 8x10 colored glossy photographs with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. Took pictures of the approach, the getaway, the northwest corner, the southwest corner, and that's not to mention the aerial photography. After the ordeal, we went back to the jail. Obi said he was gonna put us in the cell. Said, kid, I'm gonna put you in the cell. I want your wallet and your belt. And I said, Obi, I can understand you want my wallet so I don't have any money to spend in the cell, but what do you want my belt for? And it said, kid, we don't want any hangings. Said, Obi, did you think I was gonna hang myself for littering? Obi said he was making sure, and friends, Obi was, cause he took out the toilet seat so I couldn't hit myself over the head and drown. And he took out the toilet paper so I couldn't bend the bars, roll the toilet paper out the window, slide down the roll and have an escape. Obi was making sure, and it was about 4 or 5 hours later that Alice, remember Alice? It's a song about Alice. Alice came by and with a few nasty words to Obi on the side, bailed us out of jail. We went back to the church, had another Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, and didn't get up until the next morning when we all had to go to court. We walked in, sat down. Obi came in with the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back each one. Sat down. Man came in, said, all rise. We all stood up, and Obi stood up with the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures. And the judge walked in, sat down with the CNI dog, and he sat down. We sat down. Obi looked at the CNI dog. Then the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and looked at the CNI dog. And then the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and began to cry, cause Obi came to the realization that it was a typical case of American blind justice and there wasn't nothing he could do about it. And the judge wasn't gonna look at the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. And we was fined $50 and had to pick up the garbage in the snow, but that's not what I came to tell you about. Came to talk about the draft. You got a building down New York City, it's called Whitehall Street, where you walk in and you get injected, inspected, detected, infected, neglected, and selected. I went down to get my physical examination one day, and I walked in, I sat down, got good and drunk the night before, so I looked and felt my best when I went in that morning. 'cause I wanted to look like the all-American kid from New York City. Man, I wanted to feel like the, I wanted to be the all-American kid from New York. And I walked in, sat down, I was hung down, brung down, hung up, and all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. And I walked in, I sat down, they gave me a piece of paper, said, kid, see the psychiatrist, room 604. And I went up there, I said, shrink, I want to kill. And I want to kill. Kill. I want to see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth. Eat dead, burnt bodies. I mean, kill. 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 And I started jumping up and down, yelling, kill. Kill. And it started jumping up and down with me, and we was both jumping up and down, yelling, kill. Sergeant came over, pinned the medal on me, set me down the hall, said, you're our boy. Didn't feel too good about it. Proceeded on down the hall, getting more injections, inspections, detections, neglections, and all kinds of stuff that they was doing to me at the thing there. And I was there for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. I was there for a long time, going through all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things, and I just having a tough time there, and they was inspecting, injecting every single part of me, and they wasn't leaving no part untouched. Proceeded through, and I went, finally came to see the very last man. I walked in, sat down after a whole big thing there, and I walked up and said, what do you want? He said, kid, we only got one question. Have you ever been arrested? I proceeded to tell him the story of Alice's restaurant, Massacre, with full orchestration and five-part harmony and stuff like that. And then all the phenomena stopped right there and said, kid, did you ever go to court? I proceeded to tell him the story of the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one and stopped me right there and said, kid, I want you to go over and sit down on that bench that says Group W. Now, kid! And I walked over to the bench there, and there's Group W is where they put you. If you may not be moral enough to join the army after committing your special crime, and there was all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly-looking people on the bench. There's mother rapers, father stabbers, father rapers. Father rapers sitting right there on the bench next to me, and one, he was mean and nasty and ugly and horrible and crime-fighting guys are sitting there on the bench. And the meanest, ugliest, nastiest one, the meanest father raper of them all, was coming over to me, and he was mean and ugly and nasty and horrible and all kinds of things. And he sat down next to me and said, kid, what'd you get? I said, I didn't get nothing. I had to pay $50 and pick up the garbage. He said, what were you arrested for, kid? And I said, littering. And they all moved away from me on the bench there to carry eyeball and all kinds of mean, nasty things till I said, and creating a nuisance. And they all came back, shook my hand, and we had a great time on the bench talking about crime, mother stabbing, father raping, all kinds of groovy things that we was talking about on the bench. And everything was fine. We were smoking cigarettes and all kinds of things until the sergeant came over, had some paper in his hand, held it up and said, kids, this piece of paper's got 47 words, 37 sentences, 58 words. We want to know details of the crime, time, crime, and else kind of thing you got to say, pretend to about the crime, want to know the rest of the officer's name, and else kind of thing you got to say, and talk for 45 minutes, and nobody understood a word that he said, but we had fun filling out the forms and playing with the pencils on the bench there. And I filled out the Massacre with the four-part harmony, and wrote it down there just like it was, and everything was fine. And I put down a pencil and I turned over the piece of paper, and there on the other side, in the middle of the other side, away from everything else on the other side. In parentheses, capital letters, quoted, read the following words. Kid, you rehabilitated yourself. I went over to the sergeant and said, Sergeant, you've got a lot of damn gall to ask me if I've rehabilitated myself. I'm sitting here on a bench. I mean, I'm sitting here on a Group W bench. Because you want to know if I'm moral enough to join the army, burn women, kids, houses, and villages after being a litter bug. He looked at me and said, Kid, we don't like your kind. And we're going to send your fingerprints off to Washington. And friends, somewhere in Washington, enshrined in some little folder, is a study in black and white of my fingerprints. And the only reason I'm singing you the song now is because you may know somebody in a similar situation. Or you may be in a similar situation. And if you're in a situation like that, there's only one thing you can do. Is walk into the shrink wherever you are. Just walk in and say, shrink. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant and walk out. You know, if one person, just one person does it, they may think he's really sick and they won't take him. And if two people do it in harmony, they think they're both faggots and they won't take either of them. And if three people do it, can you imagine three people walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, and walking out? They may think it's an organization. And can you imagine 50 people a day? I said 50 people a day walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, walking out. And friends, they may think it's a movement. And that's what it is. The Alice's Restaurant Anti-Massacre Movement. And all you gotta do to join is to sing it the next time it comes around on the guitar. With feeling. So we'll wait till it comes around on the guitar here. Sing it when it does. Here it comes. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
That was horrible.
Want to end war and stuff, you gotta sing loud. You could put a lot. I've been singing the song now for 25 minutes. I could sing it for another 25 minutes. I'm not proud or tired. So we'll wait till it comes around again. And this time with four-part harmony and feeling. We're just waiting for it to come around is what we're doing. All right now. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant, excepting Alice. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. It's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Da 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 da. At Alice's restaurant.
Alice's restaurant, Arlo Guthrie, Thanksgiving. What do you think of that, Danny?
It was a bit repetitive, but I kind of...
I mean, that is the point. It is a ramble.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was very catchy and a really interesting story. The part that really resonated with me was about the toilet seat because of... You know,
because you always try and beat yourself over the head with a toilet
seat. Yes, the jailer tried to foil his plan to drown himself in the toilet bowl by removing the toilet seat. I've never thought of that, but it's good to know.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. What about you?
I'm glad that you experienced that sort of seminal piece of American culture from 1967. There are alternate versions available. He actually performed that live extensively before recording it. And he's actually classified as a one-hit wonder for a different song. But that song is just as culturally important, and it's recognized as such. We're gonna move or shift tone a little bit, Danny, right now, and play some new jazz that I found. Well, it's not new jazz. It's from last year. But it's a group that I just discovered that's a sort of a mix of spoken word and free jazz. We're going to play that over the next 10 minutes. I'm going to give you a choice, though, and a name, four songs on the EP. You're going to tell me which one you want to listen to.
Okay.
Chicago to Texas, Fireworks, Enough, Projects.
Enough.
Enough?
Let's do Enough.
Okay. This is Enough by the group Irreversible Entanglements.
Thank you. Alonzo Ashley, Donald Madison, Marley Graham, Oscar Grant, Trayvon Martin, Eric Garner, John Crawford, Michael Brown, Misha McBride, enough, 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 enough.
Irreversible Entanglements. That group is includes Moor Mother, Luke Stewart, Kieran Neuringer, Achilles Navarro, and Chesser Holmes. And that's an EP from 2017 that I found recently. I really like it. It's very free jazz.
Yeah, I thought...
Nice spoken word.
The intro to it was really... had a lot of spunk to it.
You should check out the rest of it. I've been listening to it fairly nonstop. I think it's really good. That actually is not one of my favorite tracks.
Which is your favorite?
Probably the opener on that one. I forget the name. The second one, Fireworks, I think is the one I like the most.
Yeah, speaking of fireworks, unexpected situations such as a power outage, water disruption, or other emergency. Like fireworks. That's true. If you're a football player in a club, you got to be careful with fireworks.
Yeah, when Katy Perry comes on.
Yes, indeed. I was actually referencing the
Plaxico Burress.
Yes, Plaxico Burress. But then I realized that that was a separate incident.
Yes.
And that's not this week's PSA. This week's PSA is about emergency preparedness. And I will continue that emergencies can happen at any time. So be prepared by having a couple of gallons of drinking water and a supply of food stored in your home. My dad also has a whole pallet of food, but that's another story. It's also an excellent idea to keep a few flashlights and other non-flammable light sources, like fireworks, handy. Candles and other open flames can be very dangerous, and the worst possible time to cause a fire is when there's some other emergency going on. This has been a public service message from Ready.gov and WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio.
Gotta be ready for those Thanksgiving emergencies.
Yes, indeed.
Like when you OD on tryptophan.
Yes.
And have to tend yourself.
What is tryptophan?
Tryptophan is like the thing in turkey that makes you sleepy.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
You know what doesn't make you sleepy?
This is the next song you're about
More
to play?
Jazz.
Yes, indeed.
All right, this one's Mad Lib.
Not slow jazz here, never on WMFO.
One, two, one. What?
Mad Lib. Danny, what's your favorite Mad Libs? I've asked this question not knowing any Mad Libs.
The one about the man from Peru who fell asleep in a canoe. I'd rather not continue on.
Yeah, Donald Trump?
No. He's not from Peru.
That's what you think. I'm trying to start a birther movement.
Oh my. All right, well.
It's never too late.
It is never too late, it's but never you too should late apologize.
To say sorry.
Do we just reference separate songs?
Yeah, but same theme.
Ah, what? It never being too late?
To say you're sorry, yeah.
Ah. Mm-hmm. But I know.
Oh, my mom's. It's never too late to say.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know the song that I'm referencing either.
No.
That's it for us.
That is it for us, and we are still waiting for those call-ins for our tickets to a non-existent concert.
You're listening to WMFM Medford 91.5 FM Tufts Reform Radio. This is Pop and Circumstance. We'll be back after the break with some more fun stuff. Return of what, Danny?
Radio Free Nixon.
Yeah, that'll be coming back. We have the actual album of Radio Free Nixon to play, maybe some other stuff that we can dig up. In the meantime, we're going to play you out on a song that isn't jazz, but is about jazz and incorporates a lot of jazz. This one's a Tribe Called Quest with Jazz We Got. Happy Thanksgiving.
Put up those jazz hands.
Firm and young with a laid-back tongue. The aim is to succeed and achieve at 21. Just like Ringling Brothers, I'll daze and astound. Captivate the mass cause the prose is profound. Do it for the strong, we do it for the meek. Booming in your Jeep, or your Honda, or your Beamer, or your Legend, or your Benz. The rave of the town to your foes and your friends. So push it along, trails we blaze. Don't deserve the gong, don't deserve the praise. The tranquility will make you unball your fists. For we put hip hop on a brand new twist. A brand new twist with a whole heap of mystic. So low key that you probably missed it. But yet it's so loud that it stands in the crowd. When the guy takes the beat, they bowed. So raise up squire, adjust your attire. We have no time to wallow in the mire. If you're on a foreign path, then let me do the lead. Join in the essence of the cool out breed. The cool out to the music cause it makes you feel serene. With the birds and the bees and all those groovy things. Like getting stomach aches when you gotta go to work. Or staring into space when you're feeling berserk. I don't really mind if it's over your head. Cause the job of resurrectors is to wake up the dead. So pay attention, it's not hard to decipher. And after the horns you can check out the fifer.
Competition, them try to come sideways. But competition, them must come straight way. Competition, them try to come sideways. But competition, them must come straight way. How's about that? It seems like it's my turn again. All through the years, my mic has been my best friend. I know some brothers wonder, can Piper really kick it? Some even wanna diss me. But why sweat it? I'm all into my music, cause that's how I make tapes. Try to make hits like it Capri makes tapes. Me sweat another, I do my own thing. Strictly hardcore tracks, not a new jack swing. I grew up as a Christian, so to Jah I give thanks. Collect my banks, listen to Shabaranks. I sing and chat, I do all of that. It's 1991 and I refuse to come back. I take off my hat to other crews that tend to rock. But the low end theory's here, it's time to wreck shop. I got Tip and Shaw, so whom shall I fear? Stop, look and listen, but please don't stare. Suggest to the store and buy the LP or drive RCA, cassettes and CDs. Produced and arranged by the four-man crew. And oh shit, Skef Anselm, he gets props too. Make sure you have a system with some fat house speakers. So the new shit can rock from Boston, Massapequa. Cause where I come from, quality is job one. And everybody up on it, you know we get the job done. So peace to that crew, and peace to this crew. Bring on the tour, we'll see you at a theater nearest you.